Bible, but the suspicions of Christ hold my records fast. It's perfect for me to be here again to discuss what the Bible has to say about the salvation of our souls. I joined the discussion last night. I thought that it's probably good, and certainly to believe that it is a divine thing for the Lord's people to assemble together to discuss their differences over the Bible. Tonight, let me begin by referring back to what I said yesterday. Those of you who were here, remember that I referred to a number of passages that speak of salvation. And I asked the question each time, will you consider the passages that are many that would prefer? For instance, when a person hears, the scripture says they shall live when they hear. I ask that to tell us, does a person hear in baptism? He's not heard before that time. Does he hear in baptism? Coming to Christ, is that referred to baptism? Knowing Christ, is the person ignorant of Christ in the baptism? Well, I want to continue on that line by referring to a couple of other passages of Scripture. And I want you to ask yourself the question, when does it occur? Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, and let's look at verses 10 and 11. Hebrews 10, verse 11. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. A foundation is defined in this text as having God-like law, statutes, like His word of law, teaching of heart. It is also defined as becoming a child of God. I will make them a God, and they shall make them a people. That is, at the time when these things are written upon the heart. And at that time, they shall know the Lord. So you have several expressions here. To have God right upon your heart is to know the Lord. To know the Lord is to have the Lord right upon the heart. To have the Lord right upon the heart is to become a child of God. It is to come into covenant with God. Now, my question for you is this. As we have to consider is, if this one takes place at the moment a person is dead in the water, the words of God have not been written on the heart of the woman of baptism. A person has not come to know the Lord until he's been dipped in the water. A person has not become a child of God until dipped in the water. When does it occur? That, if he wants to say that this experience or this salvation experience is baptism, then he's got to say that the law and the word of God has not been written on the heart until that moment. Now, turn back to Ezekiel chapter 36, and let's look at verses 29 and verse 27. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. For all of your filthiness and from your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, when does this occur? There's no question that this is describing the salvation experience that God is promising to do in the heart of his elect. He says, God will sprinkle clean water upon you. Is this conversion? Does this take place when a person dips in the water? Is this when God sprinkles the clean water upon them and washes them from their filthiness and their sin? Is this when they receive a new heart, a new mind, a new understanding? That when you went into the water, was that when you received this new heart? Was that when you received this new spirit? Was that when your hard heart was when the Lord put His Spirit within you. Not only that, notice what He says in verse 27, I will put my Spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes. I want to ask you a question. A person walking in the statutes of the Lord, doesn't this verse say that previous to that, God put His Spirit in you? And that is what brings about the effect of walking in His statutes. Well, okay, if that is not walking in obedience to the Lord, if I'm walking in His statutes, well, the fact that you walk in His statutes, that is, be baptized. And then God will put His Spirit within you. Well, that's what this text says. Let us say, I will put my Spirit in you, I will walk in my statutes. I will put my Spirit in you and cause you to obey and be baptized. So, He's certainly getting the cart before the horse. We do not obey the Lord in order to have His Spirit put within us, but He puts His Spirit within us and causes us to obey. So again, I ask you to consider, when does this occur? Now, let me go to my syllogism that I brought up last night. You remember that I had a syllogism. Premise one was, all believers are saved. Now, the face of one Acts 13:39 that plainly says that. I am all that believe or are justified from all things. And then the second premise was, some unbaptized are believers. Of course, the conclusion was, therefore, some unbaptized are saved. Now, that meant that there was a subtle switch in the syllogism. He was saying that in premise one, all believers are saved. It's not the same believer in the second premise. Some of the baptized are believers. Well, that doesn't come to you about a sort of script. In our first debate, he accepted the second premise. He said it's the first premise that gets wrong. He says, see, all believers are not saved. You remember that fact? And he got that caught through what he was saying. He said, the devil believes that they're not saved, so all believers are not saved. I'm saying that Acts 13:39 is not true. You're saying there's a contradiction in the Bible. So now, identically, he's accepting premise number one that all believers are saved, but he's saying you're not a believer until you're baptized. I'm going to get in the way of that because Acts' position is that you're not a believer until you're going to have to obey all the commandments of God. You're not even a believer when you're baptized. And he's trying to take the position that you're not a believer until you're baptized. But based upon what he said about Matthew 7 about Christ and not the likeness, this certain man tries to build his house upon the rock, that is, who obeys my word and my commandments. Well, does that not include all of them? So what you're saying is, a man's not even a believer, he's not even a kind of blind by Christ until he's obeyed all the commandments of Christ. So therefore, I say that you're not even a believer. That's one of that. I have this question. I made the statement yesterday that Paul was not saved, or Paul, the great Paul, was not saved till he was immersed by Ananias. But yet, I made the statement. He said he Paul was not saved when he believed on the Ananias road. Now, let's read that. You're telling us that you do not have faith, you are not a believer in your past. So Paul was not a believer until he was converted. You're saying a man is not a believer until he's baptized. That's attacking for it. You're not a believer until you're baptized. Then you cannot have faith or believe on the man who's chosen. Now, where is it? Let me ask you this question. If you are not a believer, if you do not have true Bible faith until you're baptized, then you baptize unbelievers. If you're not a believer until you're baptized, then you baptize unbelievers. Well, which do you? Do you baptize people who have true Bible faith, or do you not? And you say you baptize people with true living faith, right? Then don't get up and say that you don't have true living faith until you're baptized. Which way are you going to have it? Are you a believer before baptism, or is it baptism that constitutes your belief? And if it's baptism that constitutes your believer, then I want to know why you said that Paul was a believer in Acts 9. What if you're a believer? Now, another question. I ask you this in writing, and I've got an answer right here. I asked him the question, I said, did the word faith from the reading in Mark 16:16 have directed you? I'm not going to go into all that to you, that's what I realized about. But I asked him the question, did faith have directed you? See, to him, he sees problems of the scribes of faith. it's 30 minutes plus baptism. If you don't have baptism, you don't have faith. Well, I ask him, if faith is not 1660, that believes that it's baptized, is it connected? He says no. It is written, but you have to go on anything else. Well, because he says faith, he says believes that it's baptized, he's saying believe in good baptism. Well, why did Christ say he didn't believe that it's baptized? Christ is saying he didn't believe, so that includes baptism. So he had to say that. So now, we've got his praise. Sometimes faith is a thing that can include baptism.
Verses 13 and 14.
Paul said that you being dead in your sins, the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Paul frankly said in his sermon that when Christ was quickened, when he was brought to life, we were brought to life with him. And also said that we were forgiven at the time that Christ died, and his quickening came after having forgiven us of our sins. Also, turn to Ephesians chapter 2, where you have the same thing. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Paul said, well, sorry, verse 4, that God was rich in mercy for his great love for which he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ by grace, for his sake, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in every grace of Christ. Paul said here that when Christ died, we died with him. When Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised with him. When Christ ascended back and took his seat in the heavenly, I took my seat with him in the person of our representative. Also, Paul says the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For Christ constrained us just that if one died for all, then we're all dead, or as a better translation, then all died. Because the matter is, when Jesus Christ died, I died with him. Jesus Christ died in the sin once, and when he died in the sin, I died with him. Now turn to Galatians chapter 1, or 4, rather, and let's read verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Notice that Paul said that there is a sense in which we are the sons of God before he sends his Spirit into our hearts. Now, that comes up and he says that we become the children of God in baptism and respect the children of God in the sense before them. That's not what Paul said. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit into your hearts. Now, look at John 8, 27. For Jesus said, he that is of God, even if of God, hear God's words. You therefore hear the thoughts because we are of God. So let me ask you a question. We shall learn from this passage. Are we of God and then hear? Or do we hear and only be of God? He said, you do not hear because you are of God. It's because you will hear. So we are God before we hear. So I'm trying to show you there are senses in which we're saved before we're baptized. There are senses in which we're saved even before we believe and repent. So, let me say this. When you want to talk about logical order versus chronological order, there is a logical order provided in the Scripture. I believe that the Scripture teaches that we are first born of God, raised from the dead, and then we believe that we repent and we confess and then we do the good works. They are the first of the good works. On the other hand, in the divine part shall this, the Bible believe that it has a prophecy about regeneration and immediately with his faith in the gospel, faith in Christ, and repentance of sins. And we are saved in birth, we are saved in repentance, and we continue to be saved throughout our Christian lives and grace. I look forward to extending more on this in my next speech.